Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the third aliyah of Parshat Shmini, or Sidrat Shmini, in the book of Vayikra. And here is where the tragedy begins. Vatetze eish milifnei Adonai vatochal al hamizbeach et haola ve'et achalavim vayar kol ha'am vayaronu vayiplu al pneihem. And fire came out from before the Lord, meaning from out of the Holy of Holies, through the Kodesh, through the holy place, where the table, the menorah, and the incense altar were, out through the door of the Mishkan, into the courtyard where the sacrifices were at that time, aflame with a natural fire. And out comes the kavod of Hashem, the fire which represents the presence of God, and consumes what was on the altar, the burnt offering and the chel of fats, and the entire nation saw and yelled out, and they fell on their faces. Vayaronu, I'm translating as they yelled out. Often ronu, like ranenu tzadikim l'Hashem, means to raise one's voice in song and happiness, but that's not always the case in Tanakh. Probably about 10% of the time it simply means to make a noise, a loud noise, which here is clearly one of shock and awe and fear, honestly, and excitement, I suppose, all mixed together at this wondrous event that has been promised to them, that God will, the presence of God will show up, the kavod of God will show up. So this is the moment they've been waiting for, but unfortunately, along with the moment comes the tragedy. Vayikhu v'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machdato v'yitinu behem ish eish v'yasimu alea ketoret v'yakribu l'fnei Adonai ish zara asher lo tziva otam v'tetze ish milfnei Adonai v'tochal otam vayamutu l'fnei Adonai. And the children of Aaron, specifically we're talking here about Nadav and Avihu, took up each person his own shovel and placed fire, meaning the burning wood coals which were taken from the large Mizbeach, and they placed incense on it, and they offered a strange fire before the Lord. The truth is, rather than saying strange fire, I think a better translation, as we'll see, is an inappropriate fire before the Lord. Anyway, getting back to the translations, which he had not commanded them. That's either referring to God, or, as Rashbam says, it may be Moshe, because, as we see, the normal sacrificial processes are not taking place. Moshe is really controlling the flow. These are not generally following the rules which were laid out in the earlier parashot. As I said, I think that the word zar here means inappropriate, and it's important to distinguish between an avodah zara and an avodat elilim. All avodat elilim, that is worship of idols, or false gods, is avodah zara, since by nature, when one worships false gods, idols, it is an inappropriate worship. But not all avodah zara, inappropriate worship, is the worshiping of idols. It may in fact actually be worshiping God, which is what most of the commentators, not Rashi, but most of the commentators say about the golden calf, that it was not worshiping gods, but worshiping God in an inappropriate or prohibited way. So the question that everybody really has to ponder here is, what exactly did Nadav and Avihu do wrong enough to justify or to result in the consequences of them dying? There are many opinions on this. One opinion is based on the juxtaposition of the section prohibiting drinking during priestly service, as we will shortly see. And therefore, based on the fact that we're about to see the laws of not getting drunk while doing the service, there is an opinion that says that Nadav and Avihu were drunk, and that was their mistake. Some say that they corrected Moses, Moses gave a law, and they overruled Moses' law and were punished for it. And I want to get back to that point because, first of all, it doesn't seem to match such a harsh crime, and second of all, it doesn't seem to be supported by the text, but I think there actually is something very much to that opinion, and I will return to it. And compounding the difficulty of identifying their crime is that it's described differently in different places. Here it says they bring a strange, let me stick with inappropriate fire, but it's not just that they brought an inappropriate fire. It's that, as Rashbam points out, when Moses and Aaron were blessing the people, and they were attempting to bring God's presence. Remember, Aaron blessed the people after the sacrifices. He probably expected that the presence of God would show up. That didn't work out. So Moses and Aaron went into the Kodesh and then came out and together blessed the people. So as Rashbam correctly points out, Nadab, while Moshe and Aaron are standing outside waiting for the presence of God, Nadab and Avihu simultaneously, that is, this verse sort of goes back in time a little bit, and simultaneously, while Moses and Aaron are making the blessing, they bring this incense into the Kodesh, and at that time, the fire comes out of the Kodesh Kodeshim and wipes them out. And the fact that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of spurs on an interpretation that I heard from Rav Yoel ben Nun. And I think that that interpretation not only makes sense, but I think it fits very well with the text, as we will see. But it needs a little bit of background. So normally, the Mishkan contains two sections. The Kodesh Kodashim, which is off limits to regular Kohanim, and in fact off limits to even the Kohen Gadol, except on Yom Kippur, very special circumstances when one could actually go into the Kodesh Kodashim and sprinkle some blood. Now, outside of the Kodesh Kodashim, inside the Kodesh Kodashim, as I said, there's only the Aron. There's only the Ark of the Covenant with the tablets inside and perhaps a few other things will show up there later, like the man and the staff. But by and large, you simply have the Aron and the Kaporet, which is on top of it. Now, separating the Kodesh and the Kodeshim is a parochet. And then outside of the Kodesh Kodeshim, you have an area called the Kodesh. That is the place where the Mizbeach was, the Mizbeach HaKetoret, the smaller Mizbeach. That's where the Shulchan was with the showbread on it. That's where the menorah was. And that's where priests are allowed to go in to light the menorah, to burn the incense, to take care of the showbread. But what's happening here, according to Rav Yoel ben Nun, is that the Mishkan is filled with the kavod of God, just like it says at the end of Shemot. If you take a look at the end of Shemot, you'll see it says, "Kavod Adonai malei et haMishkan, v'lo yachol Moshe lavo al haMoed, ki shachan alav ha'anan, u'kavod Hashem malei et haMishkan." It says, and the presence, the glory of God filled the Mishkan, and Moses could not enter the meeting tent, that is the Mishkan, because the clouds rested on the Mishkan and, repeating itself, the presence of the Lord filled the Mishkan. That emphasis is to say that the entire Mishkan, both the Kodesh Kodeshim and the Kodesh, were filled with the Shekhinah, with the Kavod Hashem. Now, normally the Shekhinah stays on top of the Ark, of the Aron, in the Kodesh Kodeshim. But here, it is filled up the entire space with the Kavod of God in the form of a godlike, a godly fire. So what's happened, according to Rav Yoel ben Nun, is that all of the Mishkan has been transformed to the Kodesh Kodashim, which means all of the Mishkan is deadly off limits to everyone, even the Kohanim, and in fact, even the Kohen Gadol, which is why Moshe is not inside, and believe me, if Moshe is not able to go inside, as described in Sefer Shemot, so obviously Aaron's not allowed to go inside. This also explains why the chatat that Aaron has been offering all for the 7 days, as well as this 8th day, has been different. And let's go back to the rules of that chatat. That is, there's something unusual going on here. That is, the blood is usually, when blood is sprinkled inside the Kodesh, that's called a chatat pnim. That's where the blood is sprinkled either in the Kodesh or the Kodashim. In that case, you don't eat the offering because it's, I guess, at a super pure status, or maybe you could say the opposite. It's like a super chatat. It is absorbed so much sin that it becomes unedible, and therefore it must be taken outside of the camp and completely burned up. You can't use any part of it, not the skin, not the flesh, nothing. Now, in the other kind of chatat, where the blood is sprinkled on the outside mizbeach in the courtyard, in that case, the priests, Aaron and his sons, or whoever the priest may be, are able to actually eat the meat. I believe that's because it's sort of at a lower level of chatat. So, what's going on here is kind of like, seems to be breaking the rules. On one hand, they sprinkle the blood outside on the large altar. On the other hand, they burn the entire korban as if the blood was sprinkled on the inside. But it all makes sense if the following is true. If the entire Mishkan has been transformed to the Kodesh Kodeshim, because God's presence fills up the entire thing as it states in Sefer Shemot, that would make the courtyard the Kodesh. That is, if the Kodesh has been elevated to the Kodesh Kodashim, then the Kadosh status, the lower Kadosh status of the courtyard has been elevated to the Kodesh status of what was inside the tent. Which means that even though they sprinkled the blood of the Chatat in the courtyard, because the courtyard has been elevated in holiness, because essentially the fire of God has come out and sort of moved everything up a notch, it's like they sprinkled the chatat in the tent itself, and therefore they needed to burn up the skin and burn up the flesh rather than eating it. This also explains words that we'll see later on, where it says God warns those who approach closely to his presence. That is, the Nadav and Avihu were closer to God than they thought they were going to be. They thought they were just walking into the Kodesh, when in fact they were walking into the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now, this, if we get back to that point I made before, that there was an opinion that Nadav and Avihu disagreed with Moshe and that was their punishment, well, now it kind of makes sense. Because Moshe comes out of the tent with Aaron and says, listen, we got to try a double blessing, both me and Aaron together, in order to invoke the presence of God. So if they're doing that, what are Nadav and Avihu going into the tent for? My guess is Nadav and Avihu probably figured, listen, while Moshe's busy blessing them, why don't we try to resume normal service? Let's pick up some of this fire from the top of this mezbeach that's been used, that's been burning the sacrifice up to this point. Let's bring it into the Kodesh, where we are allowed to go theoretically, and put it onto the small Mishkan, and maybe by our good service, we can invoke the presence of God. But that fire, that natural fire, was not to be brought, because Moshe came out of the tent essentially saying, listen, we got to work on the presence of God. It was not time to go through the usual service. It was the time for wait for Moshe and Aaron to do what they needed to do to invoke this, the presence of God. Now, when the presence of God took the form of the supernatural fire, and it was that fire which came out of the new Kodesh, Kodashim, that is the entire Mishkan, and came out into the courtyard, which has now been elevated to a Kodesh status, that fire was the one that was supposed to be used on this very special day. Any other kind of fire, that is, what was going on is Aaron is in the middle of burning all the sacrifices the old-fashioned way. And they're all burning on top of the Mizbeach, all kinds, I think at least five animals, if I'm not mistaken. Two of Aaron and three of the people. But that fire wasn't the fire that God wanted to use. The fire that God wanted to use clearly showed that as soon as Moshe and Aaron succeeded in bringing out the presence of God, God created this supernatural fire, and that came up and started burning all the things on the Mizbeach. That means that was the appropriate fire, and Nadav and Avihu are busy playing around with the old-fashioned fire, as if this is just kind of any other day, when in fact it's not any other day. I would guess Moshe said, listen, this is not the way you do the service on this very special day, and they probably said, you know, recklessly, and maybe if we want to even make the other opinion come to the front, maybe they were drunk and therefore were a little tipsy and they didn't listen to Moshe or appreciate the significance of what he's saying. Maybe they behaved recklessly and stumbled their way into the Mishkan thinking that they themselves, through their standard act of priestly service, which would have been fine on a normal day, they put themselves into an incredibly dangerous space. So when the non-strange fire roars out of the holy through the chamber, Nadav and Avihu are essentially caught in the crossfire, and they are destroyed by the presence of God. Not because they sinned it was a sin in the sense that they did something wrong, but it wasn't that they were trying to worship false gods or that they were trying to be distinctly evil. They were, in fact, in my opinion, trying to bring the presence of God, but they did not understand that this day is different than the other day. And I'll probably do it again in this year, but I'd like to compare it to a nuclear reactor, you know, going live. You know, you follow the directions of the person who is in charge of what's going on, because if you're in the wrong place in the wrong time when the nuclear energy is going up, you're going to get burnt. Now, this whole theory of events, I'm sorry I've gone on quite a bit, but I think this is the correct theory of events. I think it will actually fit into a dispute that Aaron and Moshe will have about the nation's chatat offering, the goat chatat offering, as we will see. And I think, as I also said, it fits the following statement made by Moshe. Vayomer Mel Moshe El Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Adonai Lemor, Bikrovai Ekadesh, Valpnei Kol Am Ekabed, Vayidom Aaron. And Moses says to Aaron, this, i.e., this, what has happened in Nadav and Avihu, is what God spoke, saying, I will be sanctified with those who are close, and I will be honored before the whole nation, and Aaron was silent. So, of course, the interpretation of what Bikrovai Ekadesh really kind of depends on, you know, one's opinion of what just happened. But I think it might mean, based on how what I described of the Kodesh becoming the Kodesh Kodeshim and the courtyard becoming the Kodesh and Nadav and Avihu getting caught in the close in the crossfire. So I think what's happening is that the close ones means the high priest, only the high priest will see the holiness. Everyone else will see the Kavod Hashem outside the courtyard. And what happened was the non-high priests stepped into the Kodesh Kodashim, even though it wasn't formally Kodesh Kodashim, and God's presence simply overwhelmed them. Now there are, of course, other interpretations to this verse, and it's well worth meaning, and I strongly suggest it's well worth examining as many of them as possible. But this forum, simply, I've already gone on long enough, and I don't think there's enough time in this forum to do so. Anyway, the implication of Vayidom Aaron is that Aaron stifled his cries of pain, his wails of mourning at losing his two children, when Moshe says that based on their own actions, their death was a consequence of God manifesting himself in full holiness and them being in the wrong place in the wrong time. And as I said earlier, it's like being in a nuclear reactor. When mistakes are made, there are going to be tragic results, Moshe is telling Aaron. And he's Aaron was silent. We'll see why. The verses will discuss, and I'll explain why essentially Aaron had to stay silent and couldn't react to his son's death. Deaths. Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el Tzafan b'nei Uziel dod Aaron v'yomer aleihem kirvu su'u et achem me'pnei HaKodesh el michutz l'machaneh v'yikrivu v'yisa'um b'chuton notam el michutz l'machaneh kasher diber Moshe. And Moshe summoned Mishael and el Tzafan, the children of Uziel, who was the uncle of Aaron, that is his cousins, and he, Moshe, said to them, come close, I think it's important to really pay attention to that word coming close, so because they were doing a very dangerous task, because they'd have to sort of reach into the Mishkan itself when God's fiery presence had already been activated. So it was like sticking your hand into the lion's den, so to speak. But they had to come close, and Moshe said, carry your brothers, which of course really means cousins, once removed, from the holy place to the outside of the camp. And they approached and they carried them by their cloaks, which means they probably kind of reached in and grabbed them by their cloaks and pulled them out to a place outside of the camp, just as Moses had commanded. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron ul Elazar v'ul Yitamar banav rashechem al tifrau uvigdechem al tifrom lo tifromu v'lo tamutu v'yalkein v'al kol ha'idah yiktsov Vachechem kol be Yisrael yivku et asreifa asher saraf Adonai mipetach omoed lo teitzu pen tamutu kishem mishchat Adonai alechem vayasu kedvar Moshe. And Moses said to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, his children, that is his surviving children, do not let your hair grow wild. This is another possible interpretation, but I'll stick with that. And don't rip your clothes, which essentially means don't enter into a state of normal mourning, in order that you will not die. And as a result of you doing the wrong thing and you're dying, that anger or kind of some kind of bad thing will befall the entire community. Rather, your brothers, all of the Israelites, will mourn the burning which God burned. That is, the people will mourn for your sons, but you cannot. And continue on with the translation, but from the opening of the tent, meaning from the courtyard, you may not exit, because the anointing oil of the Lord is on you all, and they, Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar, did as Moses commanded them. Again, I think a good way to picture this is like when a nuclear reactor goes live. It's not something that you turn off in the middle of the activation procedures. There are key people that need to keep their fingers on all the right buttons and do all the right steps, and leaving in the middle because of some personal tragedy may be very, very understandable, but it will wind up in mass destruction, ruination, not only for those people, but for the community as a whole. So essentially, a Kohen is a Kohen first, and a father and a brother second, is certainly at least on this very, very significant and, to be honest, a dangerous day. Whenever God's presence shows up, especially in fire, it's a wondrous event, but it's also a very dangerous event. And now the Torah relates laws prohibiting the Kohen from drinking while doing service. And you can say it's an irregular placement of the law in the middle of these narrative events of what took place on the eighth day, the Yom HaShmini, and therefore drinking must have factored into what Nadav and Abihu did. That doesn't mean that drinking was okay before what happened to Nadav and Abihu, just that God, obviously these commandments were given either, to Moshe earlier, just that here was the place that God decided to tell Moshe to relate to them because it was connected with the story itself. On the other hand, since the section of Vayikra is all about the laws of how to be a priest and how to do the service correctly, and all the sacrifices in fact have been covered, the normal sacrifices that we saw in Vayikra and in Tzav and these kind of weird sacrifices that are going on in the 7 days of Miluim and Yom HaShmini, so maybe this is just a good place to add the law. Whether it's directly connected to Nadav and Avihu is sort of up for you to decide. Vayidaber Adonai al Aharon le'emor, Yayim shechar al teisht, atahu vanecha itach, bevochem el ol moed velo tamutu chukat olam dorotechem, ulahavdil ben hakodesh uben hachol uben hatameh uben hatahor ulaharot et bnei Yisrael. And the Lord spoke to Aaron saying, by the way, the general consensus is that God did not speak to Aaron directly as it seems to be here, but rather God spoke to Moshe to speak to Aaron on God's behalf. Anyway, getting back to the verse, when you come out, into the meeting tent, the Mishkan, don't drink neither wine nor spirits, neither you nor your sons with you, in order that you not die, an eternal law. This is an eternal law, because you need to differentiate between the sacred and the profane, between the ritually pure and the ritually impure, and you need to instruct Israelites regarding all the laws that God spoke through the auspices and authority of Moshe, Biyad Moshe, in the hands of Moshe. Essentially, what he's saying is being a priest, in an activated Mishkan in general, is a dangerous job with vast responsibility. Not only are they taking their own lives in their hands every single day, but they have in their hands, in the palms of their hands, the lives of all the people who they represent. And therefore, fogginess is not an option. In the next Aliyah, Moshe will set Aaron and his two remaining sons back into motion. There is service to be done, and it must be done, notwithstanding the terrible tragedy.